Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Parking lot, nursery, anything with kids, food pantry, communion setup, treat team, usher, greeter, board. Keep standing. I want you to look around and give these people a hand today. Woo! Every week, you can be seated, every week, lives are touched because of your ministry. Every week, students are given the word. We feed the hungry. We help the needy. We give them clothing. We give them other household items they need. Every week, people are touched. Sometimes people are set free. Sometimes people come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Hope is given. Life is given. Joy and comfort and peace are given because of your faithfulness. And we couldn't do it without you. And everyone who's involved in ministry, we invite you to join us tonight at 6 o'clock sharp, and we're going to have a great night right here in our Superstar Appreciation. And I just want to tell you, it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a hot time, okay? You don't want to miss it. You're going to see some really neat things, and we're going to have an awesome time just celebrating what God has done in us and through us in this past year. All right, open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And as you're flipping there, I just want to throw out a question this morning. How many of you have ever been suspicious of leaders? Just raise your hand. You've been suspicious of leaders. You've wondered, you know, why are they serving? What's their ulterior motive? What's their angle? What are they getting at here? You know, sometimes, you know, how many of you distrust politicians? Yeah, you're suspicious of leaders. It's easy to do that. How about church leaders? You ever been suspicious? Or how many of you ever been hurt by a leader? You've been hurt by a leader. Maybe it was a coach, a teacher. You know, maybe it was a manager or a supervisor at work. Maybe it was a church leader. Maybe it was a pastor or a ministry leader. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, someone working in a ministry. How does that make you feel when they hurt you? Maybe you feel betrayed because I expect that from the world, but I didn't expect that to happen in church, being taken advantage of. You know, I expected more of Christians. And some of you here this morning, maybe you're here with us for the first time. Maybe it's been a long time you've been in church, and the very reason you haven't been in church is because you were hurt by a leader. Maybe it was a youth leader, the pastor, or someone else. Maybe it was just another Christian, and you says, you know, I don't need this God thing anymore. But for some reason, you find yourself in church again, something you swore you'd never do. And I just want to say, I am sorry that you were hurt. I'm sorry that someone took advantage of you, because that is not what God intended church to be. He intended church to be a place where you can be safe, where you can be welcomed and accepted and not shunned, not made fun of, not hurt. It's a place for healing, help, and hope. And I am sorry that something negative happened to you. And I just pray that in the few moments that you're with us today, that God will do a work in your life and begin to restore and begin to heal and just maybe open up something new that you didn't think was possible. Okay, let's get going this morning. We are in our Others First series. We're talking about how do we live well. Our theme verse was in 1 Corinthians 10:24. It says, our goal is not just to live well, but to help others live well. We're to put other people first. And a few weeks ago, I went to the Global Leadership Summit at Highland Park Community Church. And there was a speaker there. His name was John Maxwell. And John shared a message called Adding Value to Other People. And when I heard that message, I said, this is a great message for our Others First series. So I'm borrowing John's message, okay? I want to share with you what he talks about, how, something that is so critical, something that is so important to the Christian life. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 9. We're going to pick it up there and see how the church leaders in Jesus' day were really missing it. You talk about hurting people. We mentioned about church leaders hurting people. The church leaders in Jesus' day, they were hurting people. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 9, "Now when Jesus departed from there, he went into their synagogue," or their church. "Behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying," and that would be the church leaders. "The church leaders asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' that they might accuse him." You see, if Jesus worked on the Sabbath, then they could say that Jesus broke the Sabbath by healing someone. "Then Jesus said to them," in verse 11, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, if it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath," then he said, "stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. These church leaders had a really messed up view on priorities. People were not important to them. Sheep were important to them. You could help a sheep out of a jam, but you couldn't help a person out of a jam. You see, to the Pharisees and the priests, the religious leaders of the time, their whole idea was that protocol and regulations were more important than people. Their power and their control was more important than people, because you see, if Jesus heals someone on the Sabbath, that lessened their power. They might lose their position, and that was more important than this guy who was hurting. Money was more important to them. You say, how was money more important? Because they lived in an agricultural society, and sheep meant money. So if you lost a sheep, you were losing money. And they were saying, hey, it's okay to save your sheep and to make some money on the Sabbath, but it's not okay to help someone else. And you know, we see that sometimes in our own lives. Sometimes money, power, rules, regulations, protocols, control, positions are more important than people. And Jesus added value to people. Jesus valued people. He looked at people. And we need to do the same. Take a look at your notes in this morning. If you'd pull out your bulletin, on the back of your bulletin are your sermon notes. And the first statement there, it says, every day we must intentionally add value to people because we are naturally selfish. Every day we must intentionally add value to people. We must be intentional about it, deliberate about it, and the reason is because we're naturally selfish. We talked about that selfishness last week. We gave the illustration of what happens if you take a group picture, 10, 15 people in a group, and you take the picture. What determines if it's a good picture? If you look good. You know, if you look good, it's a good picture. If you don't look good, it's not a good picture. And we're like that with everything. We look out for ourselves. How many times do you pull up to Walmart or the mall or something like that, and you look for the closest parking spot to the store? Unless you have a really, really nice car and you don't want to get dinged up, then you park at the end of the parking lot. But, you know, even then, that's about you and your car. You're looking out for yourself. When you get into Walmart and it's time to check out, how many go for the longest line? I didn't think so. How many look for the shortest line? And you see that person over there, equal distance away, and you see that line in the middle, and what do you do? I mean, you take off to the races. Who's going to get to the short line first? I mean, that's what we do. Your favorite dessert is dished out on plates, and you come up, and what do? You take the largest piece, unless you're on a diet. Then you take the smallest piece and you're still selfish because you're not thinking about that other person who's on a diet and wants the smallest piece. It's always us first. Now, I'm not saying that to make us feel bad this morning, but we just have to realize this thing of others first is not natural. And because it's not natural, we have to be intentional about it. We have to be intentional. Here, this isn't in your notes this morning, but write this down somewhere. Everything in life that's worthwhile is uphill. Okay? Everything in life that's worthwhile is uphill. You want a good marriage? It's uphill. You want, you know, to build a business, build a ministry? It's uphill. You want good health? How many know that good health is uphill? You have to give up the ice cream and eat your Brussels sprouts. You have to get up and work out. I mean, if everything that's worthwhile in life is uphill. And here's the thing. Most of us, we have uphill desires and downhill habits. And if we're going to turn things around, if you want good health or good marriage or whatever, you have to go uphill. And that's life, okay? Life is not easy. A great life with God is uphill. And so we need to be intentional and go uphill. And here's the thing. Most people don't lead their lives. They just accept their lives. And when you accept your life, you are unintentional and it's downhill. And God wants us to be uphill. And this thing about others first, we have to be intentional. It's going to be uphill. It's going to take some work, okay? John, in his talk a few weeks ago, he shared 5 rules for everyday life. And I want to share those with you because I think these rules really apply to us. If we're going to be an others first church, if I'm going to be an others first person, another first Christ follower, these things are really essential. 5 rules for your everyday life. Take a look at your notes this morning. Number 1, every day I must value people. Every day. I need to value people. It starts with my attitude. Do I have this attitude of valuing and placing importance on people? Why do we value people? Why should we do it? We have 3 reasons there in your notes. Reason number 1 is because Jesus values people. Jesus values people. He values people more than anything else. God values you. Look at your neighbor and say, God values you. I want you to say to yourself, God values me. Do you realize how much God values you? Jesus gave his life on the cross. He gave his life willingly, had 9-inch nails pierce his hands and his feet. He was beaten, he was whipped, and when the whip tore into his skin, it ripped off his skin, tore off pieces of muscle and flesh. It would expose sometimes bones, the type of whip they used, because the whip would be laced with chips of bone, metal, and glass. We're told in the book of Isaiah that his appearance was marred more than any other person. He didn't even look like a human. He looked like a piece of meat. Jesus suffered and bled. And the sin of the entire world rested upon him. And he was separated from God. And he said, I willingly lay my life down for you. You talk about valuing people, putting others first. Jesus values people. And we need to value people. Jesus values people that you and I don't even know. The people that we meet on the street and we have no idea who they are, God values them as much as he values you. You know something else? God values people you don't like. What do you think of that? That person that you just can't stand, school starts up this week, and there's some of you students who are saying, man, I am not looking forward to this. There is this certain group of kids or this certain individual that makes my life miserable. I hate that person. You know what? God values that person. There is not a person on the planet God doesn't value. God values people. And because Jesus values people, we need to value people. Okay, here's a second reason that we should value people is because people appreciate. People appreciate. You say, Craig, what do you mean people appreciate? I'm not talking about, you know, people give compliments and that kind of thing. What I'm saying is that anything else in life depreciates. You go to the car lot today, buy a brand new car, you drive it off the lot, and you just lost a few $1,000s. How many realize that? Your cars, they get rusted out, don't they? I mean, look at that. Your beautiful car gets rusted out. Those clothes, ladies, that you bought that were so in style, now they're out of style. That house that once was a really nice looking house, it begins to deteriorate. As soon as you get your dream home, it starts to fall apart. The things of this life deteriorate. You invest in them, and then you got to maintain them. You got to keep it up. And here's the thing about people. You invest in people, and it builds them up. They appreciate. They get bigger. They get better. They get stronger. All the stuff in life, though, depreciates. People are the only appreciable asset you have in your business. Only appreciable asset you have in your organization. And I hate calling people an asset, but they're the only appreciable thing in life. And some of us live so much for stuff that we don't really realize it just doesn't matter. People are what matter. People appreciate. And the last reason that we need to every day value people, it's there in your notes, is people are eternal. People are eternal. You can't take your stuff with you. When's the last time you drove by a cemetery and next to the tombstone there was this 60-inch LED screen and the refrigerator stocked with the guy's favorite food and drink, you know, and his golf clubs and his hunting rifle or her wardrobe and her furs and her jewelry? When's the last time you saw that all laid out around a tombstone? You haven't. Why? Because you can't take it with you. Reminds me of the story of the guy that knew he was dying, and he told his wife, he says, hey, I'm going to pull all the money, I want you to go pull all the money out of the bank, put it in a pillowcase, and stick it up in the attic, because when I go on up to glory, I want to grab it on the way out. So she was faithful, she did what he told, pulled all the money out of the bank, had it upstairs in the attic. A few days later, he dies, and, you know, and she's grieving, and then she remembers, oh, the money. So she runs upstairs to the attic, and there in the attic was the pillowcase full of money. And she says, man, I knew I should have put it in the basement. Friends, you can't take it with you. Whether you're going up or down, it's gonna stay here. Your cars are not eternal. Your furniture is not eternal. Your clothes are not eternal. Your homes, your vacations are not eternal. You can't take them with you. There's only one thing in life that's eternal on this planet, and that's people. We can take people with us to heaven. And because people are eternal, because people appreciate, and because Jesus values people, that's why we need to value people and put others first in our life. Valuing people, look in your notes, it means a couple of things. It means we do more than our ministry task, okay? As we're doing ministry here, and many of you, you're involved in ministry, but do you realize that our task in ministry is not just handing out food and clothes in the food pantry? Because you can hand out food and clothes in a way that devalues people. You can teach a lesson to the little kids up in kids' church or assist in a way that devalues them. You can hand out treats, the coffee and cookies at the end of the service on the treat team in a way that devalues people. You can greet people when they walk in a way that devalues people. Here's the thing. Our attitude has to be one about valuing people. We're not just doing tasks in a ministry. We need to, when we usher, we need to do it in a way that values people, that adds value to them. So as we do our ministry tasks, realize the task is just secondary. Adding value is first. There's a second thing of what it means to value people in your notes, is that we spend our life connecting with people instead of correcting people. We spend our life connecting with people instead of correcting people. There was a survey conducted among non-Christians ages 16 to 29, and this is what they found out. Only 3% of 16 to 29-year-old non-Christians saw Christianity in a positive light. 3%. 87% saw Christians as judgmental. They doubt that we love people the way that we say we do. They see us as finger pointing in your face, telling me what I do wrong all the time. Is that the picture of Jesus? No. And yet that's the picture his body has on this planet. Now here's the thing. I'm not saying that there's never any correction. If my kids are playing in the street, I'm not going to let them stand. I'm going to get them out of the street. If I see a little child going for the hot oven when it's open, man, I'm going to prevent that from happening. There is some correcting that does take place. How can a person find Jesus as their forgiver and their leader if they don't realize they've sinned and that sin needs forgiveness and they need to let control of their life so that God can be the leader of their life? There is an element of correcting, but here's the point, and it's in your notes this morning. Are we known for our connection or are we known for our correction? When people look at us as a church and as you and I as individuals, do they know us for our connection? That we're caring, we're loving, we're serving, we're generous, we're humble, we're about helping others, we're about giving life and giving joy and giving hope. Do they see us as a connecting person or do they see us as a correcting person? Parents, I throw that out because sometimes we can be seen as just as the correctors of our kids and not as the connectors of our kids. That's why a lot of kids rebel, because there's all correction, all rules, all policy, but there's no love, there's no relationship. And we need to make sure that what people see is the love and the relationship. There's a time for the correcting, but they need to see the connection, not the correction. And that's how we add value to people. Okay, let's move on here. The second thing, the second rule for everyday life, okay, is every day I think of ways to add value to people. Not only do I have this attitude that I'm going to value people today, people are important, they matter to God, they should matter to me, but I'm going to think of ways of how to value people. Intentional thinking requires it to be done up front at the beginning of the day. Try to think about who are you going to see that day? Your wife, your husband, your kids. Who are you going to see at work? Who are you going to see at church? Who are you going to see? And think, how can I add value to them? Maybe I need to give someone a text, an encouraging text or an email. Maybe I need to write someone a note. You know, maybe I need to give someone a gift. Maybe I just need to pray with someone. Maybe I need to have a conversation with someone. But think about how you can do it. Because here's the thing. If you think on the back end, you're repairing relationships. Because we're not others-oriented naturally, we focus on ourselves, we have to think up front and be intentional. How can I add value to the people around me? How can I do that? Maybe I know one of my kids is coming home from athletic practice and they're really tired. I make them dinner and I warm it up for them. Maybe I give my wife, you know, a back massage because she really, really likes that. How many ladies could say, I could handle a back massage? Honey, elbow your honey. Are you listening to Pastor this morning? You know, think of ways, and it doesn't have to be big stuff. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, but how can you add value to people? We need to think how we can add value to people. The third thing this morning, when you're taking notes, the third thing we need to do is every day I need to look for ways to add value to people. I need to be observant as I walk through my day. Let the Holy Spirit bring a situation to our mind, and so look and be alert. We talked about this last week as we looked at Gideon and how to make an impact in the lives of others. Gideon and 300 men, they were alert. When they got that drink of water, they weren't thinking about their own needs. They were alert, and we need to be alert as we go through our day. Look for ways that we can be a value adder into people's lives, especially people that don't know you, people who can't pay you back, people that you're never going to see again. How can you add value to them? You see, sometimes it's easy. Well, I'm going to add value to him because I'm my coworker, because then he'll do something for me, or for my spouse because they'll do something for me. But that's not really being others first. When you can give value to people that are never going to repay it back, that really helps break the cycle of selfishness and put other people first. Okay, number four this morning. The fourth thing to do to add value, the fourth thing we want to do in our everyday life is every day I do things to add value to people. You see, it's not just thinking, oh, what can I do for Jim that I'm going to see today? What can I do for my kids? No, and it's not just looking, but it's doing it. It's putting on your Nikes and just doing it. It's putting it into action. God wants us to flesh out the things he's speaking to us, the things he reveals to us. Don't make those excuses. The past few weeks we talked about fear, how a lot of times the enemy uses fear to paralyze us from making an impact in other people's lives. And sometimes we have fear, well, I can't help them because I don't have the time, I don't have the resources. You know, if I do this, I'm not going to get my other stuff done, whatever it might be. What if I fail? What if they make fun of me? Just do it. Say it with me. Just do it. I can't hear you.
Just do it.
Just add value to others. And then there's a final thing that you and I can do to in our everyday lives is every day I encourage others to add value to people. See, it's not just about me, but it's creating a culture in my home, creating a culture in my work, in my school, in our church. It's creating a culture where all of us are doing it. What would happen if we all went through the day adding value to a half a dozen people a day? John Maxwell, he shared this story of how he calls his grandkids almost every day and he asks them, how are you going to add value to people today? And his little grandson, James, I think he said was 8, 9, something like that. James says, Grandpa, actually, Papa, I'm going to open doors for people today. You know, and that's all he was going to do, open doors. And John says, James, that's a great idea. That's a great way to add value to people. That night, he called James up and he says, James, how'd it go today? And James says, Papa, I opened 42 doors for people today. Now, I don't know where the kid was at, okay? That's a lot of doors. But he's getting this of adding value, of putting other people in front of myself, and he's learning it. And he has to learn it. Why? Because it's not natural in us. And as we develop this in our lives, and we encourage those in us around us, I believe that if we could take that survey of those 16 to 29-year-olds, and they saw Christians who continually added value, it would be flipped around where instead of 87% see Christianity as judgmental, 3% see it as favorable, you would flip it and you would be in the 90% where, man, these Christians, they walk the walk, they talk the talk, they are loving, they are like their Savior who gave his life for the world. This morning, as we wrap this up, I pose a question to every follower of Jesus Christ, whether you're young or not so young, okay? No matter what station, whether you're rich or poor, I give this question to every follower of Jesus today. Are you wanting to add value to people, or do you want people to add value to you? I want that to sink in. Do you want to add value to others? Or are you looking for others to add value to you? Do you expect your husband or wife to add value to you and make you feel good? Or do you want to add value to them? Are you looking for your children to add value to you? Or are you adding value to them? Are you looking for your parents to add value to you? Or are you looking to add value to them? How about your coworkers? Listen, tomorrow morning, you go to work. Are you looking for your coworkers and your boss to add value to you? Or are you looking to add value to them? Students are going back to school in a few days. Are you looking for everyone to add value to you? Or are you looking, how can I add value to others when I walk the halls, when I sit in the classroom? How about in our church? Am I looking for others to add value to me? Or am I looking how I can add value to others? Every purposeful conversation I have, every happening, every exchange I have with a person, I know for me, a lot of times it's, I'm looking for value for me. And God's saying, Craig, you've got to be intentional. You've got to turn this around. Add value to others. And sometimes we're not just looking for value for us. Maybe we're just kind of in neutral because we got so much to do and we're just kind of oblivious. Being neutral is not being intentional.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.